Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network.
The best Jimmy place to be.
Jimmy Ludwig's in town. All right, Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. And Jimmy Ludwig.
Jimmy Ludwig from the Happy Hour Guys. So glad to be back with you, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, today it's November 5th, 2013. A lot of things are coming up. We got John Hall with his craft beer cookbook, Tony Forder from Ale Street News. And next week's the Coast to Coast Toast and the Craft Experience. A lot of really cool things happening in beer in New York. It's nice to have you on, Jimmy.
Thanks, man. You've given me the chance to be your wingman today.
So you're my wingman.
I'm your wingman. So, you know, Iceman. You can call me Iceman, maybe? I don't know. I'm not really a Val Kilmer type, but I look like him when I play volleyball.
I turned
off the movie early. What happened to Goose at the end of it?
Talk to me, Goose.
John. Talk to me. John. But so, Jimmy, talking about actors and beer, have you checked out the Brew Dogs TV show?
You know what I have? I also met those guys when I was in Scotland over the summer. I'm a fan of them. I'm a fan of what they do. I really love what they're doing in their community up there, and I love the show. I think it's a lot of fun. So anything that brings craft beer to the masses that way, I think, is a lot of fun, just like we do. I mean, you know, it's great.
And so on the Happy Hour Guys, what's your latest episode?
We just put up a big episode featuring Peekskill Brewing, Chief O'Neill down there at Peekskill. And we're about to do, the next episode is probably going to feature his cool ship. He's got a cool ship where, I don't know if you know that, but that's some heavy-duty beer history right there. One of the only American style of beer, depends on that particular piece of equipment. So it's been a lot of fun, and he makes some crazy good beers up there, including one called Amazeballs.
Yeah, didn't that do well at the GABA?
Yeah, I think it won an award for they had a contest for their favorite named beers from people. I think Amazeballs was obviously in there.
And it took a silver in the, I think it was an international pale ale category. There's so many. The categories now have, what do we say, metastasized? There's a lot of them now.
So well good name 100. And good beer, because it wins awards for both.
Yes, it did.
All right, like
absolutely.
It.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
That's good. Tony, have you? How many years have you been going to the GABF?
Probably about 18. This was the first year that I skipped it in 17 years, and Ale Street News did not run a tour this year.
I thought I saw you there.
We had, yeah, I might. You might have thought you saw me there, but that really, actually, it wasn't me.
It was a Tony Foster, Porter Impossible.
We had actually just completed a European tour a couple of weeks prior to that, so a lot of our people were on that, and we just felt like taking a year off, and you know, we'll be back next year for sure. And
would you call the GABF the Super Bowl of beer? What's the best?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's the largest fest in this country, and it's just all the sideshows and events seem to be getting bigger every year, and it's difficult to navigate, and then you have the expense involved with all the hotels, put the rates through the roof.
I don't know. The Super Bowl is over in like 4 hours from the game. But this is like the carnival of...
Because it goes, and it's what,
yeah,
4 days?
It really does, yeah. And it's not even that. It's the week leading up to it, and even the week after in Denver. It's so voluminous and so just mind-bogglingly... brain-fogglingly awful.
The attendance this year was what, close to 50,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, they tend to keep the entrance pretty static. You know, they sell out quicker and quicker every year, so you really have to jump on the tickets. But it's something that, you know, every beer fan should do at least once, if
absolutely,
not 10 times.
Yes.
And you don't need a hotel room. You can sleep in the street. It's fine.
I did. Yeah. And I had a hotel.
There's
room.
A lot of references coming to mind, and I'm not going to go there because it's something about going to Provincetown, Cape Cod or something.
Whoa!
Oh, wait a minute.
Whoa! It sounds like a wild time.
That's a different
Let's
joke.
Get our featured guest today. You know, John Hall, you know, we know you're a beer briefing. You've got a sister radio show on iHeart Radio that we have.
I still do that. That's weird.
You've been writing, you know, about beer for a long time. First of all, you're one of the few, like, really dedicated, you know, beer writers that I know.
Well, thanks.
Oh, that says a lot for the rest of us.
Well, Well, I am the editor of Tony, All About Beer magazine guest. These days. Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been writing about beer for a while. It's a fun gig. It's not as lucrative as some people might make it seem, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. So yeah, it's.
And now you've got this amazing cookbook. You know.
Thank you. James.
Tell us a little bit about the craft beer cookbook.
The American craft beer cookbook.
Oh.
It's very patriotic.
Pardon me.
Okay. I wrap myself in the American flag every time that I open it up.
Red, white, and blue ingredients. Right?
It's a very limiting cookbook in that respect. But aside from that, it's 155 recipes from breweries that I called from around the country. And basically what I wanted to do was tell the story of where we are with American beer and American food right now. Mm. And what I really saw in the last 40 years is that people have gotten to the point where they want to know where their beer is coming from. Mm-hmm. So they can walk into a local brewery, they can meet the people who make their beer, they can find out the ingredients that are in it, and when it's on their table, they can actually look at the beer and be like, oh, I know what business I'm supporting. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is true with food, because 40 years ago, when you think about it, we had given up eating good bread and we had started eating Wonder Bread. And we had given up eating good cheese and like Velveeta replaced it. And we convinced ourselves that we were so busy that we would put a plastic tray in the microwave and whatever came out 2 minutes later was considered dinner. But now people want to go to farmers markets and they don't want GMOs in their food and they want to go to farm-to-table restaurants and they want to know what they're eating. And so we've seen the craft beer world and the local food movement kind of come together.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do with this book here. So everything from breakfast to dessert, soups, salads, stews, everything in between.
Tony, have you are there other cooking with beer or craft beer cookbooks that you like?
There's been a number of them. We normally do our book reviews for Ale Street News in the last issue of the year. This year, there's so many different books, not all cookbooks, but there are a couple out there. It's a very good-looking one from John, and we know John. He graced the pages of Ale Street News for a while.
It was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. I just went to a food event up in Maine, state of Maine. It was called Harvest on the Harbor, where they featured local restaurants and chefs.
I hear that's a great event.
And, it really is. It started off with wine, but now they really incorporate beer and other locally distilled beverages. So it's a real showcase of, farm to table and what's grown locally. And the chefs up there are doing an amazing job.
I have a question for John.
Sure.
You know, we talk a lot about food pairing these days. We're talking a lot about beer having a place at the table, just like wine. Is there for you in the craft beer, in the American craft beer cookbook, is there a gateway recipe or a gateway combination in there? Like for somebody who's like, I don't like having beer with food. And you would say, well, you should try this and it's going to change your mind.
You know, it's not people saying that I don't like beer with food. It's more people saying that they don't like beer. And so food I found to be the actual gateway for people to coming into good beer. So, for example, there's a recipe for pineapple pale ale cupcakes in there. I know, with brown sugar on top. And they're really quite good. And talking to people about how how beer can mimic food, I think brings people out of their shell a little bit more. So if I say, well, if you think about a pale ale that already has some tropical fruit notes to it, like pineapple, people will come around to it a little bit more. Staying in the pale ale family with like an IPA, there's a recipe in there for a carrot cake. That I pair with an IPA. And it doesn't sound like something that you'd want to do right off the bat, but a little bit of the bitterness from the pale ale or from the IPA versus like the sweetness and a little bit of the savoriness from the carrot cake, people start to change their perceptions a little bit. And I think if we start talking about beer in food terms, then we can start to bring people to recipes, no matter what type of day it is or what time of day it is or what type of recipe it is.
And we have Annie likes beer from the Ginger Man here, too. And
hi,
you're
Jimmy.
A Cicerone certified.
Yes, sir.
So you know a lot about beer and food pairing. What are some classic beer and food pairings that you like to recommend?
Well, I think it's kind of one of those things where if people aren't used to it, like he was saying, that aren't used to sort of pairing beers with food, to start off with different cheeses and something that's really accessible, that you can do several different cheeses in one place. So if you go, at the Ginger Man, we do a cheese plate and we can pair it with a beer flight. So it's four different styles of cheeses, four different types of beer. And in, 5 minutes, you can get a really sort of broad idea of all the flavors that are possible. And then it becomes, oh, that, oh my gosh, I can't believe, it makes the beer taste better, it makes the cheese taste better, and like, what else can I do? And then something like, you know, especially now the time when things like the American Craft Beer Cookbook are coming out, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many possibilities, and people are getting really excited about it. It's kind of nice to see.
You know, there was one of Garrett Oliver's books, Brewer's Table.
Yeah, Brewmaster's Table.
Brewmaster's Table.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And there's a classic thing that works so well. It's like he says, get a good barley wine and a really good blue cheese like a Stilton. Put the two together, and they each balance each other. And I found that also with like lambics. With certain types of like meaty stews can balance the sourness of a beer. Are there other special combinations that you like Tony? Let's go around the room because that's cool. Like what's a special food and beer pairing?
I had amazing at the Harvest on the Harbor. It was first beer I had at this the opening tasting. It was Shipyard's smashed blueberry beer with and the restaurant next to it had this sort of lobster in a cornet with blueberry chutney, and it was like wow.
Hello.
What about you, Jimmy?
Well, over at the Happy Hour guys, we've done a lot of traveling around the last year, and we were out at New Holland Brewing over the summer in Michigan. And they have that. They're one of their flagship beers is Dragon's Milk, which is a big barrel aged stout, bourbon barrel aged stout. And I had a very simple root beer float. I mean, Dragon's Milk float with a really good vanilla ice cream made with that. And it was I was unsure, and it was unbelievable. So I want to say to John and to the folks out there who are listening right now, if you want to create a recipe, Mark Aldrich and I at the Happy Hour Guys will be your guinea pigs. contact us at thehappyhourguys.com and send us the food, and we will taste it, and we will tell you what we think. We'll
do that.
You
guys are amazing. Happy Hour Guys.
See, we'll do
I think you guys, are going to knock the brew dogs off. You're better than
they'll
them.
They'll come looking for us, man. Yeah. I'm scared of that.
And John, from your book, pick a couple of your favorite beer and food pairings.
Well, you know, one of the things that I really like is oysters and a stout, because if you get a fresh raw oyster and you have a little bit of that brininess, a little bit of that meatiness from the shellfish itself, and then you get the sweetness and a little bit of bitterness from the stout, the two contrast in such a fun way that I really enjoy bringing it together in that way. And that's a thing that people don't always expect. If you think of like seafood, you think of like, oh, we're going to be light and airy and outside and it's going to be nice. And if you get a dark beer that people don't always associate with outside, it throws their perceptions for a loop a little bit. And then when it comes together in a nice way,
I think we found that it's, you know, there's complementary pairings where you're sort of going sweet with sweet.
Yeah.
But the oppositional pairings where you're sort of going savory sweet, you know, and pairing two things together that you wouldn't normally expect, that's where sometimes the real jackpots can be.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, with the way that the brewers are approaching so many different styles of beer these days, it's fun to find commonalities in a beer that would actually go well with food. So, for example, if somebody's brewing a beer with honey, and suddenly you start thinking about back to your childhood or like even going home to mom and dad these days, and if they do a honey baked ham, suddenly you have, you know, a honey
sweet
beer that's going to go really well with a really good ham. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And so if you start thinking about beer in food terms, and that's one of the things that I really try to do with the American Craft Beer Cookbook, is to talk about beer in food terms. You can find a beer for any dish that's out there. And yeah.
I can't believe you mentioned that. That's absolutely a Christmas time or Christmas ham with pineapple and ginger ale. Mm-hmm. The Guten Careless Vandekaiser is one of my absolute favorite things to have with that. It's delicious. It reminds me of Christmas.
And
it tastes like Christmas.
Do you bring beers home for your Christmas?
Yes. And now, you know, it's really nice. Now they don't want to play beer pong with them anymore. They understand at this point that it's better than that.
But it's a little bit difficult, and you might agree with this, to change the public perception of, okay, it's okay to have beer at the table.
Yes.
As opposed to like a bottle of wine, because people will go out and say, well, I spent $40 on this bottle of wine. It's like, that's great.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you spent that much money, and the wine is perfectly nice and perfectly wonderful. But this six pack that I just bought for $12, I think goes a little bit better with what we have at the table, because beer has so much more in common with food than wine does. Mm-hmm. And as I state in the book, I personally believe that beer is a better beverage for pairing with food than wine.
The carbonation just scrubs your tongue. It's perfect.
Sure.
Okay, now I was going to comment on that. I want to know if anybody knows. I know there's been some research on that, like that beer as a substance actually is better for your taste buds. It's better for your equipment. It kind of scrubs your taste buds and is better than wine at sort of refreshing your palate. I've heard that, but does anybody know if that's like... Yeah, I mean, I want to agree with that, but well, I mean,
how do you feel when you drink I beer and eat? Fantastic. I mean, I think that's I completely
feel,
true.
When I feel smarter. Like, I feel like $100. I feel like $100. I do when I have beer with food.
Coincidentally, that's what beer writers make per month. So good on you. No, I think that there is something to be said for the carbonation. I think there is something to be said for the scrubbing of the tongue. But at the same time, I just also think that if the flavors are better, mm-hmm. and if you start off in a good way, if you're going to do multiple beers for multiple courses throughout, you have to start off with something a little slower and then build up.
All right. That's a great first segment. We're going to when we come back, we're going to talk more with Wendy Littlefield. I'm going to talk more about Belgian beers and Belgian beer and food pairings. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah. Woo!
You are listening to Sweet Talk by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
She's going to be like, hey, we're looking forward to every single event.
Rocking on with John Hall. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio.
Wait a minute. Why am I pouring beer right now? I can't get back to the microphone because I'm pouring beer for everybody. Help me out here.
Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our sponsors, greatbrewers.com and to the Good Beer CL. All right, here we are. It's November. We got John Hall. We're previewing the American. You know, the whole time I thought your book was called Craft Beer Cookbook.
No, the American Craft
Beer. I didn't know that.
Book. It's patriotic.
I've been carrying that book around for a month. And you know, we're doing a dinner next week.
Yes, we are.
Number 43.
It's going to be great. We're going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. And then we're going to wrap up with the Battle Hymn of the Republic afterwards. It's going
to
be great.
And I didn't know it was called American Craft Beer Cookbook, man.
I have to say, John, that the thought of seeing you in my mind's eye wrapping yourself in the American flag and nothing else.
And nothing else.
That is sexy, man. That is a sexy cookbook.
You're the only person who'll say that, by the way. I just want to say.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
But I'm totally happy that you are.
I'll take that. So I'll take it.
Well, you know, this is a great segue because I'm talking about sexy people.
Hello, Wendy.
Is Wendy Littlefield on the phone? Yeah. Wendy?
You're having a grand time there. Can you hear me?
Yes, did you hear what we just said about you?
I think that's very complimentary, especially to a woman of my vintage.
I think you have a room of fans here. You know, everybody say hi. I don't know it's if you can hear us, but everybody say hi to Wendy.
Wendy, hi. We miss you. Wendy. We wish you were here.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello. I know John is there and Jimmy's there. Who else is
Tony,
there?
Tony, L Street.
Anne's oh, here. Hey, how are you?
Jimmy Ludwig. Very good. Jimmy Ludwig from the Happy Hour Guys.
And it's me, Anne. Good to talk
Anne,
to you after
darling.
5 hours.
How are you?
So, Wendy, let's jump to the chase. We all know about, Coast to Coast Toast and Van Bergen to Wolf. But why don't you jump in? Tell us, you had a conversation with Anne today from Ginger Man. You know, what are you encouraging, these bars to do for Coast to Coast Toast? I mean, there's 700 bars and restaurants participating in your event next week on November 14th.
Yes, sir. It's all a band of co-conspirators. It's all of our friends in the beer world do a party on the same day. And this year we have a special focus on beer and food pairings because of our nomination for the James Beard Award. So people are doing all kinds of crazy things. Last year, Anne did a spectacular party at Ginger Man that was essentially a total tap takeover with a curated guide to our beer. So it was just really a keeper. It's a collector's item. And this year, the focus is on sour beers. So how with the history of sour beers and then some small plates, I do believe. Is that right, madam?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great and very sophisticated party at Ginger Man. I also spoke to John, who is a buddy as well, and of course is one of the great advocates for beer and food pairings and having beer have a place at the table that is you know, equal to wine.
Your check is in the mail for saying that. Thank you.
That's not necessary.
It is for me, John. Please.
Yeah.
Right
but
away.
He's, you know, so we've talked a little bit about the types of events that are taking place, like Stage Left in New Jersey, which is a great restaurant in New Brunswick, is doing a wild game dinner. Did you get to talk to them, John?
I did, yes.
Isn't that a great-looking menu?
It's fantastic. It's one of the best beer and food menus that I've seen in quite a while.
Well, yeah, they're very, very good.
Do you guys have – Wendy, can you tell us a little bit more about the menu that they're doing? And more about this place. I've never heard of it.
Well, yeah, I'm going to talk – I want to talk in general about the kinds of themes and how they're being executed because every year we do the party a little bit differently. So because of the decision to focus on beer and food, we said, let's have some people do wild game. Let's have some people do oysters and beer. Let's have some people do tapas. Let's have some people do artisan pizza and beer. Let's have some people do custom burgers. Let's have some people do poutine. And then we sort of threw it out to friends and said, you know, which one of these things do you want to identify with? And so first and foremost, There's a place in Rochester, and another element of this event that I love is because we started our business in a small town, and we built Omegang in a small town, I have tremendous reverence and affection for people who do great things in out-of-the-way places. So this is a long-winded answer, but the first place that decided to do a game event was Tap and Table in Rochester. Do you know that bar? Anybody know that bar?
No.
I'm not allowed in Rochester anymore.
Oh, okay, well.
There's actually a court order that is keeping John away from Rochester. No, I'm kidding.
Nah. Okay.
We have a writer that lives in Rochester, the beer predator.
Oh, hey there. Tap and Mallet is a great bar, and now there's a gastropub, which is definitely the best place in town. Called Tap and Table, and it's an Englishman who started it, you ought to know. And so they picked up on a wild game theme. And then I was talking to Mark Pascal, who's one of the partners at Stage Left, and as we were discussing ideas of what to do, he said, I like that idea too. So you'll see these themes that I've mentioned cropping up in different parts of the country executed by different people. So now, getting to Stage Left, let's see what their menu consists of. A spiked sweet potato soup and applejack cherries with Vicaris General, which is this beautiful Abbey Double from the Dillowins Brewery. Hunter's salad with root vegetables and scallops refermenté. You guys know the Dubuisson Brewery that was founded in 1769. Bison short ribs with espresso rubbed with pickled carrots. And that's with DuPont Special Belge, which is pretty amazing. They could get their hands on that. And then venison and apple and cheddar tart with Bière de Miel.
Oh,
so
I'll be
know,
right over.
Right? I mean, my
yeah.
Jeez.
But this is one of the most serious restaurants, you know, in the greater New York area. And the fact that they'll do a beer dinner is just fantastic.
They were mentioned in Michael Jackson's book, The Beers of Belgium, right?
Yeah, I think they probably are because we go back with those guys decades. You know, they were some of the early advocates for great beer. And then they got much more wine focused and you know, God bless their souls, they're still being very inclusive of good beers.
So it's called Stage Left.
Mm-hmm.
John, have you been there?
Yes.
One question, because John's, you know, he's been touring with his American Craft Beer Cookbook.
Patriotic.
And I'm trying to find out if he's been to every place in his book.
Sure.
Is Stage Left in your book? Do you have a recipe from
I don't have a recipe from there, but as a proud member of the Garden State Tribe, born and raised in New Jersey, Stage Left has been on my radar for a while. It's in New Brunswick, which is a great college town if you're into the whole Rutgers thing. Mm-hmm. I'm personally not, but I still go there anyway because they're doing a really nice job with their beer and food. And this is this recipe is a perfectly nice example of that. I will point out, too, because people in New Jersey get a little bit nervous about this, the venison that they're getting does not come from animals hit on the side of the turnpike, but they're actually getting it in a good way. Wendy wouldn't allow for, you know, Garden State Parkway.
Roadkill,
yeah.
Definitely not.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking out for you, Wendy. That's all I'm doing.
No, that's fantastic. As you clench your fist
and shake it towards the East Coast right now, yes.
Talking about out-of-the-way places, Wendy, have you done anything, or are you doing anything right now with Chris Lively up in Maine? You know, he has Ebenezer's Pub and then the new place Brunswick as well.
No, he's an elusive fellow. We've certainly reached out to him, but... Uh-huh. No, he's not. If you look at the list of places that take part in the Coast to Coast Toast, it reads like a, you know, who's who of the great beer bars of the country. So, like, Mekong is doing a total tap takeover, and they're doing rocket shrimp that's, you know, fried in spring rolls and all kinds of cool stuff. But Chris, no, I don't quite know. Why not? But he's not on it.
So if you want Jimmy Ludwig to go up to there, to that restaurant, he'll just go and knock on the door and demand to know why they're not participating.
Yeah, I can just basically say, you know
what? Just say the word, Wendy.
You guys are like wild game, and we're going to hunt you down.
I don't want to pick on anybody because I've met, we've gotten together in Belgium and enjoyed his company. I would just say he's elusive. And that's okay. He doesn't have to do it if he doesn't want to.
So, Wendy,
on another note, do you know Strange Loves in Philly?
No,
don't know them.
Or Memphis Tap Room.
Two
great bar owners have five or six places. They've taken cheeses from DiBruno and they've washed them, the rind in our beers, and they're going to be serving different cheeses and different beers at all five of their locations.
That sounds like a great concept.
Yeah.
And what about Chicago? Like, what are some of the? I mean, is Tell us,
well,
I'm,
yeah,
let's
I mean,
keep talking about food and beer pairings because I think we're all trying to learn more about it.
Yeah. Well, there are three places that are vying for the crown of, you know, most parties, and that's Illinois, California, and New York. So we'll probably have 100 parties in Illinois. And the signature party, because we live here now, is at a place called Fat Rice, which was named one of the top 10 new restaurants of the year by Bon Appetit. And it's a restaurant that does the cuisine of Macau, very, you know, Asian comfort food, Portuguese, Asian influences, just spectacular food. And so we're doing a multi-course beer dinner, family style, and at Fat Rice. So
Wendy, can I ask you a question? It's Jimmy Ludwig here, the Happy Hour guys. There's a lot of talk these days, now that craft beer is sort of crossing over into, you know, this world, the world of really fine dining and amazing food pairings. Can you think of a pairing or a particular menu offering that is just downright decadent? Just crazy decadent, like, oh my God, you know, the idea of caviar in another world or Cristal in another world, you know, what is it? What's an offering that you've seen that's just like mind-blowing and, you know, check your wallet, that sort of thing? Because I think we're about to enter into that world, and I want to know where the reward is for that. You know what I mean?
Well, and I want to go back and say, you know, we did the first beer dinner at the James Beard Foundation, the first trainings at the Culinary Institute. We've been around for 32 years, so we've seen this evolve. The best combinations are not necessarily the most expensive, though the Dutch in New York is looking at doing caviar and Scaldis Prestige, so, like, you know, nothing on the menu would be under $95. and that's great. That's a decadent experience, but, you know, doing artichokes with La Bière de Belloy is also amazing.
Not very
expensive.
My point is that I think beer is sort of perceived as being not as expensive, but now beer is sort of climbing into a territory that it wasn't previously in, which is if you want to go and go top shelf, you can in the craft beer world. And that's, I think, people would assume that in the wine world and obviously in the spirits world, but in craft beer, that's not been part of the identity. And do you feel that that's changing?
Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. I mean, vintage lambics can be very, very expensive, and understandably so. We have some in our house that are more than 20 years old and, wow, you know, pretty amazing, amazing, amazing drinks.
So we'll be there tomorrow.
We have a lot of places to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we go to your house in Chicago for the Coast to Coast Toast?
I would say at the Mondial de la Bière events that I've been to in Montreal and in Europe also, they had caviar beer tasting seminar, both of those, and where they actually paired up with champagne beer, which is... You can find half a dozen examples of that around.
Well, that's one thing. I want to say that's an interesting point, Wendy and John, in your book. I mean, I feel like a lot of this, you've covered breweries and brew pubs that are serving food. But, it's nice to hear about, high-end restaurants and this higher concept things, too. Because a lot of people don't ever think about pairing caviar with beer. It's the first time I've ever heard that. But it sounds really good to me.
I want to try that right now. I mean, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not all pulled pork and, fish and chips.
And I've done that, certainly. And you're right that it's not all burgers and nachos. And that's one of the things that I wanted to do with the American Craft Beer Cookbook. But at the same time, talking about some of the beers that Wendy and Don have brought into the United States, like Saison DuPont. There are certain nights where I will just go out and buy a bottle of Saison DuPont. My wife and I will just sit around in the apartment and just drink the entire bottle. And it feels decadent because the beer not only has a wonderful taste to it, but it also has just such a wonderful flavor to it as well. And it's got just sort of an aura around it
and a wonderful history as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you don't actually even need to pair, some of these fine beers that are being brought in from overseas. It's just tasting it on its own and appreciating what's in your glass. And I think that's one of the great things about the Coast to Coast Toast that's coming up is the beer and food pairings that's going to happen, the recipes and the restaurants that are doing these things is wonderful. But the beer on its own in its glass, sitting on your couch with some nice music playing in the background with somebody that you care about, like that to me is like one of the best things.
It's like the Coast to Coast romantic.
It's getting like decadent there, John.
It's
getting pretty decadent.
What about with somebody you
don't? My wife is blushing somewhere right now.
What about with somebody you don't particularly care about, but it's just really hot? Is that okay?
Bud Light,
no.
Limerita.
Wait, let Wendy answer that one. Let Wendy answer that question, Jimmy.
I don't even know where that one was going. Ramping things back in. I don't think that I'm afraid of people beginning to make beer seem, terribly recherché and exquisitely expensive. Because I really will maintain that beer is one of the most affordable luxuries in the world, and ounce for ounce, even the most expensive beer is a bargain compared to almost any other world-class edible thing.
Absolutely.
That's how I initially got into
absolutely. My point, I think, was that I was trying to make was that I think there's still, for a lot of people, especially in the United States, definitely not so much in Europe. I was just in the UK this summer, not so much there. But definitely in the United States, there still is a little bit of the stigma of beer being the what you drink with nachos and burgers. And, thus it's more of the, it doesn't have the ability to climb into the for instance, the Robb Report. You know what I mean?
I think that's changing so fast.
Well, that's my point.
The Robb Report, ages ago did stuff on, lambics of ours or vintage beers. So and Premier Traveler.
I'm not your enemy here, Wendy. I swear to God.
I'm not trying to make you mad. No, you're not making me mad. But I'm just saying that I don't think that I think that the beer is for everyone, and you can have a very simple experience with a great hot dog and a wonderful beer, and it's great. And you can have, a very complex experience with a great chef. I'll speak in passing, Jimmy. I know that Charlie Trotter died today.
Yeah, it was tweeted so today on the Heritage Radio Network. Yeah,
I mean Charlie Trotter.
Cheers, cheers to Charlie, man.
Amen.
Charlie Trotter, rest in peace.
Cheers.
Yeah, and he was one of the first, great name chefs to experiment with beer. And you would never think that that would be the case, but Larry Stone, who was his sommelier, very readily understood that the flavors that we were bringing in and the beers that we imported were unbelievable. So, So
thank you, Mike. Yeah, I'll tell you this. I think definitely when we're talking about also, you know, introducing people who are used to a higher culinary standard, or you know, looking for that beverage like a cognac or champagne, I think that we're going to look more and more to you guys, because I think Belgium is still that place where you know, we've had this talk about how do you get hip hop guys interested in beer. You know, people that don't associate beer with luxury. You know, I think that Belgium is a starting point, and I think that's one thing that's going to come next week with Coast to Coast Toast. But thank you for bringing up Charlie Trotter. Yeah, we all learned about him today. I've never met him. I know there was some tweets from Heritage Radio Network. So let's make a toast to Charlie, and
Charlie.
We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Nice. Thanks, Wendy.
You are listening to Favorite Flower by Pamela Royal on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Do you want to taste the finest beer and spirits from over 125 breweries and 30 distilleries? The Craft Experience, the most exclusive craft and spirit tasting event in New York, hosted by great brewers, is available to the public for the first time ever. Join your fellow beer and spirit enthusiasts on Wednesday, November 13th in Manhattan to mingle with the superstars of the craft beverage world. Tickets are available now at www.thecraftexp.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio. This is the loudest crowd I've got. I've got journalists here and writers and TV stars. This is just a wild room. But guys, guess what? We're talking about some serious stuff.
Yes,
beer,
we are.
Food pairing.
Yes,
it doesn't have to be that serious. Because you got the American craft beer. American, what is your book, man? It's so confusing.
It's the American Craft Beer Cookbook.
Keep your tie on,
can't
John.
Remember it.
Sing the battle hymn of the Republic,
bring
as
it.
You say.
So, John, I want you to please read to us the names or the recipes
of
a few of the... Come on, you want to promote your book?
No, I do. All right, so obviously the best named recipe in the book is called the Hot Tea Sandwich.
Oh.
And it comes from this obscure little restaurant in that small city known as New York, New York. And the restaurant is known as Jimmy's No 43.
I love
Jimmy's
that
question
place.
Mark. No, comma, 43 exclamation.
That place, Jimmy's No 43.
So Jimmy actually contributed a recipe to this cookbook, which is one of the reasons that I'm on the show today. And thanks, Jim. And it's basically what Elvis would have eaten if he had survived, and it's a wonderful thing about using organic bananas, free trade bananas, honey, sea salt, smoked sea salt in the recipe as well.
Thank
and
you.
It's a lot of fun.
And guess what we're gonna do for the dinner next week?
We're gonna have that as dessert. With some
we're gonna
bacon.
Turn it into a bread pudding. So it's going to be a banana.
It's the only reason
butter,
I'm coming to the dinner.
Honey,
absolutely.
Yeah,
wow.
Bread
dinner.
But we have
bread.
Duck fat home fries. Ooh. And we have a beer caramel sauce if you want that carrot cake that I was talking about earlier. It's also got a bourbon mascarpone icing on top of it.
You know, it's true. When I first went through your book,
yeah,
a few things stood out. And one of them was that you had a great recipe from Garrett. You got to mention Garrett Oliver when you're talking about
Of course you have to talk about Garrett Oliver.
And so I thought it was so great. He has a very simple a duck fat home fries.
Right.
And that, to me, when I think about beer
Garrett
dinners
Oliver
and pairings,
keeps ducks in his backyard.
No, I know.
That he can render
but
down.
But what I'm saying is I liked when, on the last segment, Wendy Littlefield was talking about a pairing with a fine Belgian beer and caviar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I think about beer and food pairings, I often think about very simple dishes. So like a duck fat home fries. Like it's potatoes cooked in home fries, maybe some onions. That, to me, sounds perfect with a beer.
Yeah.
What beer would that go with?
That's an excellent question, Jimmy. As I
you
flip
need to something malty with that. Okay. Yeah.
Here's what you're not seeing.
Something malty with there.
Here's what you're not seeing. What you're not seeing right now is John frantically flipping through his own book to find the answer to that question. Which did you actually write this book?
No, I didn't actually write this book. No,
tell the truth.
When did you write it?
You can't handle the truth.
I wrote this 2.5 years ago. So what I'd say on the side dishes chapter of from which this particular duck fat home fries from Garrett Oliver comes from, that you should find a beer that suits your needs for that. So if you're having duck fat home fries by themselves at the end of the day, really whatever beer is in your fridge, you should just open up.
If you're having duck fat home fries, your life is pretty freaking good.
Pretty absolutely. Good idea.
Yeah, it's like what Wendy Littlefield was talking about before. Like you're just opening up like, you know, all sorts of like crazy like lambics from the past.
Well, you know,
you could also have the Saison Brett from
the... So you brought this beer in. Tell us what it is.
It's thanks, good. Jimmy, for saving me. I brought the Saison Brett, which is the Smokestack series from Boulevard Brewing Company.
Wait, is that a craft?
We'll be getting soon.
Is that a craft brewery?
In my mind, it is.
It's a Belgian brewery now, right?
It's owned by Duval Morget these days. But when this was bottled earlier this summer, it was still coming from Kansas City, Missouri.
There you go.
And it is a Saison with Brettanomyces in it. So you're getting a lot of those botanical flavors in there as well. But there's also this really kind of nice funky flavor that's coming off of the back of it. It's not even horse blanket. It's a little bit of spicy. It's a little bit of like this like robustness on the back end of it. It's quite nice.
And it's a little
now,
tight. Too.
Now
it's
that I tight. Yeah, tight. Now that I've made an ass out of lemony. Myself.
Oh come
from,
on!
Like you know,
that's my job. I'm way ahead of you, John. Way ahead of you.
Let's talk about beer. Okay, since we're talking about beer news, this is right. You know, we're trying to talk about first of all, Tony. How would you define a microbrewery versus a craft brewery?
Well, you know, the standard definition is if once you exceed 15,000 barrels, then you're no longer a microbrewery, you're then a regional craft brewery, which a lot of people
are 15,000 barrels
going through that level. And I've actually visited a few breweries lately that have really built out, like Allagash, for one, up in Maine, beautiful build out. They have a 75-barrel brew house now, wow. BrewCon. Ithaca Beer in New York State, beautiful new brewery. Two Roads, which is a new purpose-built brewery to not only make their own brands, but to contract brew for other people. These are all large breweries, you know, for historically what we're used to as microbreweries.
So then what happened with Boulevard? So Boulevard got bought
by Duval.
But they Duval owns Alma Gang, and I guess they figured, I mean, the quote from Michelle Morgat, the owner of Duval, was that they see a lot of quality going on now here in the U.S., and so they're interested in getting involved.
Yeah. I think the other quote was that they're ready to go shopping, and that was the first acquisition, right?
Well, no, yeah. It's not the first acquisition because they already had Alma Gang.
The new acquisitions, is what I mean.
And personally, I see this as a good thing.
I do,
because I think that there's a lot of people who see, you know, craft beer in the quote-unquote terms that we're seeing in the U.S. these days as this church and state thing. It's either you're very big like Anheuser-Busch or your craft like Sierra Nevada. And if you're not in there, then you're crafty or something like that. But let's look at it this way. Boulevard is now owned by a Belgian company that has a huge European and overseas distribution network where this beer will now be able to go to European countries where
Absolutely.
It hasn't been before.
Yep.
And it will further the sense that the U.S. is still the best brewing country on the nation, in the world at this point. And we're not number one at education. We're certainly not number one at government or healthcare or anything like that. But when it comes to beer, we're doing some really good stuff. So I think that by blurring the lines a little bit, it's not going to be a bad thing for
take it as a sign
overall.
Of respect.
Absolutely.
Huh?
And hand in hand with that, and getting back to our overall theme, which is there's never been a better time in recorded history to eat and drink. The food and the liquids that are available to us out there, and especially in the beer world, as Wendy said, for not a whole lot of money, you can have stuff that will literally be so good it'll take the top of your head off. And that is an amazing thing to have happen to just about everyone these days, in especially in the United States, but in the world at large. I mean, craft beer, I was in Ann Arbor over the summer, and they just opened an affiliate brewery in India, and they cannot make beer fast enough. It's It's just a wonderful time to eat and drink. It's a wonderful time to pair beer with food. And it's a wonderful time to buy the American craft beer.
Oh, but God. I have to say, it's also a really great time. There you
and
go.
Your good, check is
good
in
plug.
The mail.
I like
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
It's also a time, because that's growing, though, I get a little, not nervous, but you know, a lot of people are seeing this growth in craft beer, and a lot of them have the means and the money to kind of scoop things up. I'm not talking about this particular thing at all. I think it's a great idea. I think it's, you know, great for Boulevard. But as long as, I guess, people know what it is and know where it's coming from and call an ace, I'm all right with that. I think, you know what I mean? Not like AB buying up little craft brands and doing this and disguising them. It's like, as long as people know what they're buying and know what they're into, I think it's great. If I can go to a ball, you know, baseball stadium and get an IPA, you know, awesome.
We're going to have a show coming up about contract brewing. And we want you to be on that.
You sure you want me on that?
I want to be on Justin that one will be, and we're going to plan that when you leave the show. But okay. A couple last things with John. So John Hall,
yes, sir.
I'm going to read it again.
The American
Craft Beer Cookbook.
155 okay. recipes.
Pick,
from your
four places that you went to or that you like, breweries or brew pubs that have recipes in the book.
I think
because I know you've been traveling a lot.
I have been quite a bit. I think everybody should go to Stone. Stone in Escondido has one of the best breweries going out there. They have a really nice Japanese stone Zen garden in the back. That's a fun thing to see. I think that the other one that people should definitely go and visit and hang out at is Dogfish Head. It's got a great party atmosphere to it. It's got they're doing some really inventive things. Yeah, Bocce
Ball.
And they're doing some really fun things at their pub that you can definitely go and try and taste. For my money, when I'm traveling brew pub wise, Haymarket Pub and Brewery in Chicago is one of the best brew pubs in the country right now. Every time I go in there, I feel welcome. Every time I walk out feeling full and a little bit tipsy from the good food and beer. And I think, and I'm going to definitively state this, the best beer brewery tour that I've been on in the country comes from the Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Ah.
You go on a Friday evening. They have their fish fry, which is a Midwest tradition.
Yes,
they have
is.
A polka band playing. And you get several generations of the same family showing up, drinking, dancing, eating, having a great time. For my money, it is one of the best times that I've ever had at a brewery. And if you watch the old Laverne and Shirley show, they put a glove on their bottle line. And as it goes through, they encourage everybody to sing the theme song. I'm fortunately a little bit too young to fully appreciate that, but I appreciate it anyway.
In the Wayne's World theme song.
Lakefront Brewery, everybody should be going to in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
John, thanks for coming on.
That's why I'm here.
Next week we're doing a beer dinner with your American Craft Beer Cookbook.
Everybody should come
Jamie's
out.
Jamie's number 43.
What day is that?
With
Next
bacon.
Wednesday, November 13th.
Are you coming?
All right.
Yeah.
All right,
and
done.
And Tony, what's coming
Jamie's
up?
Jamie's going to take your money.
Coming up, we just actually have our dates for our... We're still there. This may be beer paradise here in the U.S. We're still taking people to Belgian beer paradise. In Europe, because the European experience. We are thinking of actually reversing and bringing groups over here to the U.S. now because there's so much to see. But our tour next year is on for the end of April. We're going back to the Zethos Festival, having missed it for a couple of years. So,
it's Ale Street News.
AleStreetNews.com. You can find out the details.
All right. And Annie, you've got something going on for
the Coast to Coast,
Coast, to Coast Toast.
Yes. On Thursday, November 14th, we're going to be showcasing a lot of the Van Bergen DeWolf Sours. All the Lambics collection, their new Creek Lambics, and also a very special surprise for sour lovers. So,
all right,
come and on in.
It's
Jimmy
and
Happy Hour Guys.
Always great stuff at thehappyhourguys.com, and looking like we're going to be writing a column for a very cool magazine soon, and looking to close a deal to be on a cable network near you soon.
And you guys might go head-to-head with BrewDogs.
Yeah,
huh?
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Against BrewDogs.
Cool. All right, so some events coming up next Wednesday also. The Craft Beer Experience, or the Craft Experience, thecraftexp.com. Our sponsor, greatbrewers.com, has over 125 breweries and over 20 distilleries coming in, and you'll be able to meet the producers and the owners. It's going to be an awesome event, and we've helped curate some of the food, too. So that's thecraftexp.com. In closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is also supported by the Good Beer Seal. You can find us on Facebook under Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network, and you can also check us out on Twitter at beer_sessions. If you'd like this podcast, give us a good review on iTunes as well. I think many people do listen to it on iTunes or on Archive. Thanks to John, Jimmy, Tony, and Wendy, and Ann for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and Justin Kennedy, and Maggie. Maggie. Engineer Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Woo!
Cheers.
Cheers.
Drink 8 beers. Save the world.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.